Cannonball Adderley, and we're here to play for you today with the wonderful artist, Miss Flora Perrine. We'd like to let you know who the guys are. George Duke at the keyboard. Miroslav Vitos on bass. Indugu on drums. Raul de Souza on trombone. Ayuto Moreira, percussion. The first thing is a group composition that's called Funky Thing. Thank you.
If you want, I'll take you there right now.
gentlemen, Miss Flora Perrine. Yes. Yes, we're glad to be back with the butterfly lady. I would like to tell you that that's those of you who are here live and those of you who are on the other end of the radio checking us out, that we're all here because we love Flora Perrine. And we all finally have the privilege to play with her once again. And that's a beautiful feeling. I must also say that Flora is the bearer of goodwill in so many ways, not just because she's a great talent and a wonderful person, but she has some other things going, because I don't know of an occasion like this. I have performed in many correctional facilities. Many. That is, from minimum to maximum security. But I've never seen a thing where people come from the outside and come in and perform in a show with an inmate in a facility, and everybody is having a ball because they have the privilege to do it. I came in from Seattle to do this, so, you know, it's kind of heavy. Miss Flora.
No, it's terrible. I want to say this is really the first time it happened in the history of the Bureau of Prisons. I know it seems incredible, but Warden Wise really had a lot to do with that, and he fought for it. They didn't want to let me do it, and he finally got around, and here I am.
Let's hear it for the warden.
Thank you.
Right on. That's wonderful.
Now, the next song I'm going to sing, I'd like to dedicate to all of you guys. I want you to think about your old ladies and feel good, feel good. Let's suppose I am your old lady right now. I'll be with all of you in here. And I also want to dedicate to some girls that are in CIW, and one special one that is my partner. She wrote a couple of songs with me. Her name is Clara Massengill, and the song is called 500 Miles High.
Looking to her eyes, said, Yes. 500 Miles High. That's a composition by the great Chick Corea, who I'm sure some of you know. He bad. Yeah, I know. Here's a composition by a Brazilian composer whose name is Edu Lobo. And it's kind of fitting since Raul, Aieto, and Flora are all Brazilians that they do this tune. This one's called, what is it? Casa Forte. Yeah.
Is my
Yeah.
Cuss of Fortune. Yeah. Thank you very much. Flora Parim, once again, ladies and gentlemen. We are enjoying her so much. The next tune is a composition by the great McCoy Tyner.
No, I changed my mind.
Oh, good. That's what I like. It's her prerogative.
You know, I want to give you something because you've been giving me a lot through the years. So I'm going to sing you, for you, special, a Brazilian song that I know you happen to like a lot. It's called O Cantador, and it talks about a man that goes on the road with his guitar. And the only thing he does is sing about people he sees and about the world. And for the world that he's seen now, he says that his song is pain, but it's so strong and brings love too. So that's the whole story. I'm going to sing it in Portuguese, which is my native language from Brazil.
Yeah.
Morreu, não, morreu, não. Faleceu, sou réu,
vida e a morte, eu canto o amor.
We're grateful. For this next tune, Ayeto has something to tell you.
All right.
Yes.
Tell you something, guys. First of all, this next guy that's coming here happens to be my old man, and I'm very proud of him. And I want you all to meet him so you know why I'm so happy all the time when you see me at the hospital. That's Ayeto Moreira, and he's a great percussionist.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And my name is Ayrto, like I-ir-to, and I am from Brazil, and I used to live in New York for 8 years, and now I'm living in Los Angeles, so I can come and visit Flora twice or three times a week. So I'm going to be playing some of my instruments, you know, for you. And I'll start with the tambourine, which is not a big thing. You know, the tambourine, like everybody knows, the tambourine is all over the world, you know. All kinds of tambourines, you know. Some, you know, they have the skin, you know, the head. Some of them, they don't, as you know. And there are even square tambourines, you know. And Chinese, you know, tambourine. Another day I was in Chinatown in San Francisco, and I saw a Chinese tambourine, and it's beautiful, and a big one. But it was kind of too heavy to play the way that I play, so I didn't get it. But it's still there. This instrument is called a cuíca, cuíca, and it's a Brazilian instrument, you know, which, you know, doesn't mean nothing, and has a bamboo stick, you know, inside, which is attached to the front, you know, the skin, you know. And this is a wet piece of cloth, and it's a kind of, it's a friction, you know. We should, you know, with the wet piece of cloth, and the bamboo stick, and you get a sweet sound. Yeah, you can think about whatever you want. That's, Berimbau. Berimbau comes from Africa, from Angola, which in Brazil is this instrument now is a part of the whole Brazilian culture. Was brought to Brazil a long time ago, in 1500, by the black people from Africa, from Angola, and they brought with them lots of things, beautiful things. And today is all mixed, you know, in Brazil. And we still have spiritual rituals, which we call espiritismo. And it's a dance also that used to be a fight, and it's called capoeira, which we play this instrument, you know, for this dance. I'm going to play now the berimbau for you. And I'm gonna sing some, you know, some chants, okay?
This is KBCA, Los Angeles.
Fuck!
Jair Correa, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Remarkable. Once again, we welcome back the band and Miss Flora Marie. A composition by another Brazilian, Emerson. This one's called Jive Talk.
From Brazil, from the carnival, just drum session. And I hope you get off in it and will be it. Thank you very much for giving me all your support and being here.
Here at Terminal Island, and for those of you out there on the other end of KBCA, And once again, thank you, Ms. Laura Puri, for being so rich. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Leonard Feather here on KBCA-FM, and it's a rather strange situation today because normally at this time every Sunday I'm in the studios at KBCA doing my regular program, and for all you know I might have Flora Purim there as my guest, but there was no way of working that, so we did it the other way around. I'll tell you the basic facts before we talk to Flora. Flora Purim is giving a concert this afternoon at the Terminal Island Federal Correctional Institution in San Pedro. She has been an inmate here at the institution since last August. Flora Purim was voted number one female singer in Downbeat's Reader's Poll last year after the release of only her first record as a solo artist. That means she was ahead of Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, all the great singers of history, which is quite remarkable. She's won universal acclaim from critics here and abroad, and her albums have garnered all kinds of top airplay and just everywhere, middle of the road, pop, easy listening, and of course the jazz stations like KBCA. One outstanding feature of her music is the inability to classify it. We'll go into that in just a moment when I talk to her. She was arrested on a cocaine charge in 1971 and was convicted, and a series of appeals leading all the way to the Supreme Court were unsuccessful. She's now serving a sentence of 0 to 3 years. Actually, she went before the parole board immediately after arrival at Terminal Island, and she was denied parole. The parole board is going to consider her again, I think, in August 1975, but we'll find that out now. I'd like to, first of all, make an obvious disclaimer that this should be clear to anyone. There's no attempt here to glamorize or publicize cocaine any more than there's an attempt to do a commercial for cancer. That's fairly clear. Right, Flora?
Right.
Flora, what is the reason for the sudden switch? Right up until a couple of weeks ago, your presence here was really unknown to almost everybody. I was one of just a very few people that heard what happened, and everybody kept the silence, presumably out of deference to you. And then suddenly we have gone from this secret situation to a point where it is just the reverse. Now it is being actively publicized. There's been stories in the trade papers, and a concert is being given today. What is the reason for this turnabout?
Well, it just happened that it's been 8 months that I've been in jail, and I never been in jail in my life, and it was quite a hard experience, and I couldn't adjust to the fact that I was leaving my family, Aito, my little daughter, Diana. And then when I surrendered, I still didn't know I was voted top female jazz singer or anything. Yes. I still working with Aito. I finished my record, Stories to Tell, and I came in. And after 8 months, I learned a lot since I've been here in county jail, and I met a lot of people. And it's been a demand for me to work. Like, people's been calling Fantasy Record, asking about me. And I just felt that it wasn't fair to hide anymore, because it's true and it happened and I'm still here.
There are so many emotions that I was thinking when I watched the first of the two concerts. Of course, the second one is going on in a few minutes, but whether you feel embarrassment, self-pity, excitement, bitterness, determination to straighten out, what are your real basic emotions today?
You want to really know that?
Yes.
I feel very excited, you know, mm-hmm. because music is being my main form of communicating, even with myself, you know. Yeah. And for me to have the chance to sing with musicians like George Duke and Miroslav Vituz and Aito and Undugu and Cannonball and Raul, I know not even when I was on the streets I couldn't get it together, because each one of them got their own thing going. Miroslav's got his own band coming, and George works with Frank Zappa. Cannonball's got his band, you know, and Undugu works with Santana right now. So I feel really emotional and excited, and I know I'm making people feel good, so I feel good.
It took quite a lot of effort to bring all these musicians together here today, didn't it?
Well, mostly it was their own willingness, which, I mean, I really appreciate. They made me feel so well by just coming in and giving me their time, and it's just, I feel good, and I hope everybody holds on till I get out of here, because I'm ready, you know.
Well, what is the situation regarding the possibility and the likelihood of when you will get out?
I have a chance to be paroled when they review my case in August 75. And if this happens, then I'm going to fight immigration, which is already being taken care of, because there's a special bill for performers because of John Lennon and some other people.
Yes, I know about that case.
So if, like, some senator presents the bill, I can always remain in the country to perform and to visit, but not to leave, which is what I was doing in the last 8 years.
You came here in 67, right?
About the end of 67, and I've been in Europe with St. Getz and with Aito and with Cheek, and I've been traveling mostly of the time, you know, so it's not going to change much.
No, I would think that once you do get out, you will have a very bright career ahead of you. How do you compare your situation with, say, Billie Holiday, who got into trouble much later in life?
Well, there's a different on the dope that she was using,
different
too.
Different kind of narcotic, that's very
yeah,
true.
Well, like that, like, you know, on staff you can really get strung out and you can decline. And I used cocaine and I smoked weed and I took pills. I used all kinds of drugs, but junk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And after I was busted, a month after, Chick Corea invited me to be part of the band Return to Forever. So when we had to go to Japan, I told him, listen, I don't know if they're going to let me go because I was busted. I told him about what happened, and he said, why don't you come to a Scientology place and talk to some people that I know? So I went in, and it felt really good, you know. They accepted me the way I was, and I really improved my senses about everything. I started to confront my own situation exactly how it was, with no self-pity or nothing like this, just saying, well, I was busted and it was it, I have to handle it, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Well, that answers my question then. No self-pity, no real bitterness about what's happened? Maybe a little?
No, I saw horrible things, you know, and they're going to stay inside of me for the rest of my life, but I think I learned from it, you know, and I just find out that there are other kinds of people that need understanding and help, and they're human beings just like me, you know. And, of course, I found out in a hard way, but everything is worth it, you know, and I'm taking a great lesson out of my jail time.
Well, your spirit and your morale sound marvelous. It's really impressive. How have the contacts been with the outside, with musicians writing to you and so forth?
Incredible. I've got letters every month from Billy Cobham, from Stan Getz, from Chick Corea, from Stanley. They even write music and sending it to
me.
They do. Yeah. And Aito comes to visit me twice a week and brings Diana. And once in a while, he writes a song for me, and I write a song for him. And that's what's happening.
Aito has moved down here now, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Aito, can you come in for a moment?
Yeah. Hello.
You are now living in the Los Angeles area, right?
Yes, yes. I'm living in Alta Loma Road, which is close where the Playboy Club used to be.
Yeah, I know where you are. So, and you're continuing with the group without Flora?
Yeah, yes. By the way, I am, you know, this thing that happened, you know, with Flora and myself, you know, our family, had changed a lot of things for better, you know, because we can see much clearer now a lot of things that we couldn't see before. And I am putting a new group together and with a whole new spirit, you know, not really musically speaking, but the whole thing.
Yeah, with the attitude.
Know, yeah, the attitude and how to handle, you know, everything else, you know, and I am signing a new recording contract also.
That's great.
And I think it's going to be with Arista Records and Clive
Davis.
I wish
you luck with that one. Flora, let me ask you another question for a moment. A lot has been said about the wordless singing that you do, which constitutes a great deal of your performance. How did that develop? It's not really like any kind of wordless singing has gone before. You can't call it scat singing. In fact, you can't really classify anything that you do.
Yeah, well, as I said to other people, it started when I was working with Ron Carter and Ermeto and Aito. You know, we went to do those concerts in Mexico. And Ermeto came to me and said, listen, why don't you use your voice? Like, we didn't have a horn or anything in the band then. And just make sounds and back me up when I do things like this. And in the beginning, I didn't want to do it because I wanted to sing straight melodies and lyrics. I wasn't very hip. But
I doubt that. I don't believe that.
I'm telling you, because I was scared that he was crazy, you know. Because he is crazy, naturally.
Well, anyway, he's crazy.
He has ideas like bringing animals to studios and have them make sounds and play soprano sax and things like this. But he's a genius, and I respect him very much. So the first time I did it was on Moon Dreams when I recorded with Aito and Seeds on the Ground for Buddha. Mm-hmm. It was my first trial for that, and it was so good. I took off so fast and strong that actually when I finished, I thought I was going to pass out, you know. Mm. And then Aito and Ron and him ran to the booth where I was in, and they hugged me and kissed me and said, can you do it again? Let's take another track. And I did two tracks, and we used it, you know.
Well, I guess we have about run out of... We have no time left? 5 minutes or 5 seconds? 5 minutes. Oh, well, that's good, because I could not say goodbye in 5 seconds, nor could I get all the answers to the questions I have in mind. Actually, this wordless singing doesn't seem to derive from anybody else, but you must have some idols that you've had in the past.
Well, I was into... I love jazz music because my mother loved it, and she used to hear it to Errol Garner, Oscar Peterson, you know, Hazel Scott.
Really?
Yeah, and then I started to hear Miles, and the sound of the trumpet, you know, really would strike me because, like, I would feel this in chills, you know, and slowly was the sound that I wanted to duplicate. Then when I team up with Joe Farrell on Sheets Band, I found a new sound together with the soprano sax and with the flute. And I had studied some drama on a Stanislavski's method, and you use your diaphragm and your throat and your chest and your stomach and your nose. And I started to make the sounds travel so I could duplicate and make perfect, like, unisons.
Right.
And that's how I developed it, you know.
There's a number you do with the Edo Lobo number called Casaforte, which has that wonderful upsweep type melody, and it seems to me that you probably think of yourself as some kind of a horn, maybe a saxophone.
Yeah. It's just to reinforce the actual instrumental sound. And eventually, when it's like a funky piece, I'll go and I sing some Brazilian words or something that I feel. I only sing what I feel. And I improvise, you know, the accent and the words sound very rhythmically, and I use it too, you know, so when I did on Jive, on Dr. Jive, on Butterfly Dreams, just picked up words and improvised them, you know.
There's a certain aspect of that I think does qualify as jazz. You say you don't want to be categorized as any one thing, and I think jazz is just one of your many bags, isn't that true?
Oh, I love it. I said to Downbeat, to Lynn Lyons, and that's the way I feel. I feel really honored because all this is happening to me, and like the musicians in my country, when I came in, I used to sing ballads. I love Dinah Washington.
Yeah. Really? Oh.
I had all her records, and I sang I Should Care, and and even Ella, I sang What's New, and things that sounded tunes, and when I came in, the musician said, well, just don't try to make it as a jazz singer because you're Brazilian and your background is different, and they born listening to 4/4 tempos. You can't possibly beat it.
Do you think that's true?
That's what they told me in there before I came in here. When I came in here, the first thing that blew my mind was when I met Gil Evans. He was one of my idols. And when he invited me to sing with the band, was the top of what I ever felt. I never thought I could make it, and I made it, and he was there all the time, and he wanted me to sing more and more and more. Then came Cheek and Stan Getz and Duke Pearson. And one day I was at Walter Booker's house playing the guitar, and Thelonious Monk was there. And I never met him. I didn't see him. I didn't know it was him. And I played a ballad, a Brazilian ballad, and I sang. So he didn't say a word. He asked me to play it again. And when I finished, he came in and hugged me and kissed me, you know. And I couldn't believe it. And Maria Booker told me, "Do you know who's that? That's Thelonious Monk." Next thing I did, I saw him at Club Baron in Harlem.
Yes, yeah.
And I never thought he recognized me, because you know how he is. He picked me up by the hand and introduced me to each musician, you know, and told them, "Check her out, check her out."
I think the reason that musicians react that way to you is that you are inherently a musician yourself. You studied guitar for 4 or 5 years with Oscar Castaneda,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Who is now with Brazil 77.
Yes.
And I think your musicianship is one of the greatest aspects of your performance. And I'm looking forward to hearing it again right now. I wish we had more time to talk. But Flora, is there anything you want to say to people who might get into the kind of situation you're in?
Well, I just want to tell you all that a joint or a blow, it doesn't work to your freedom, believe me. It's so much that you lose, and there's so many ways to get high without drugs. Right. Music is one of the best ones, but if you write poetry, or if you make leather, anything you do is an art, you know. Just get off in it and forget about drugs, because drugs is something that you depend on, and you've got to depend on yourself.
That's a wonderful closing thought. Flora Purim, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I hope the next time we meet, your next birthday, by the way, and belated happy birthday, I should say. That was
right.
Thursday, right?
Yes.
On your next birthday, I hope we'll meet somewhere else out in the world.
Thank you very much. Thank you, all of you.
And we'll be back right away with the concert.